this opportunity, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And as I look out there, I don't see rejoicing faces. Amen. Enjoy rejoicing faces, smiling faces, happy faces, not faces that look like they're going to throw a dagger up here. Amen. If that be the case, I'm going to put Will be a bishop if he gets the dagger. Wow, I try to preach. Amen. Amen. We thank God today because there's something about the name of Jesus. And as I was sitting here, thinking about this and anticipating what the Lord was going to say, we plan and God executes. And we have to follow. If you have your Bible, just for a few minutes this morning, I do mean a few minutes, from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. This is not what I've left out of study with. So y'all pray for me. The Holy Spirit, this is what I've left out of study with. That's not what I want to be right now. Philippians, chapter 2. Verses, starting with verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of a God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being formed in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, say the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Gracious God, our Father, we pray that you hold our thoughts captive and lead and guide us in the way that you have us to go, that the words we speak will be words that come from you. So God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We this morning give all glory and honor to God for his gracious and merciful power toward us. It's not because we're so good, but because we serve a good God. It's not because we're so great, but because we have a great God and comfort this morning. And as we have mentioned earlier, and we'll be mentioning throughout the next couple of months, that God's given us vision that we need to receive and reach out to 50 new souls. Amen. For the kingdom of God. Amen. As we celebrate and said thank you to him for the church's 50th anniversary. I want to thank God for the choir. Good morning. Amen. They sound like they, I ain't gonna say that word, but they sound pretty good. Amen. And they're good because they're allowing the Spirit of God to use them for his glory and honor. In this passage of scripture that we read in your hearing, he starts off in the 5th verse by saying, let this mind which is in you also be in Christ Jesus. But whenever you start off in the middle of a verse, or middle of a chapter, you have to see what went before and try to see what's coming after. So therefore, if we read, I started with that first verse, it said, therefore there is no consolation in Christ, any comfort in the Lord, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being on one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done selfish or selfish ambition. Amen. Or for conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I'm going to read that again because somebody was asleep when I read that. It said, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of us look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. If we are going to have this mind of Christ, we have to understand that there are no big eyes and little U's in the kingdom of God. We have to realize that none of us are better than any of us. And we need to reassess the value of our real estate. Amen?
Amen.
What do you mean, Pastor? A lot of times we have real estate and we have someone come and appraise it, and we thought it was a lot more valuable than it really is. And then when they give us that an assessment of the property, then we begin to realize and say, well, this is not as much value as I thought it was. And that's what we need to do in our living and in our lives every now and then. We need to reassess our living according to God's standards and see if we are as holy. See if we are holy as we think we are. Amen? We have to re-examine, if we prepare to take communion, it says, let a man examine himself. Amen? Because you know about you better than anybody else knows. Amen? You can put on a white robe, and you can put on a black suit, and a red and white tie, and fool some of us. Amen. You can put on a nice hat in the sky, and a white dress, and you can fool some of us, but you can't fool yourself. Because you know. Amen. So you need to say, let a man examine himself. But he said, let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, which was a mind of humbleness. He had the power and the authority to wipe out whoever got in his way. But he said, he humbled himself as what? A servant. You know, when you get to the kingdom, when you get to the gates of the kingdom, he's not going to ask you, well done, pastor. Well done, deacon. Well done, Urshan. Well done, choir member. He's going to call you what you really should have been, even if you were. And that's a servant. And then, did you serve my people? Did you reach out to lift up those that were hurting? Did you reach out to those that were outcast? Did you try to feed the hungry? Did you try to clothe the naked? Did you do what I told you you ought to be doing? Did you have my mind? Or were you too busy and trying to control things, trying to make a reputation for yourself? Did not have the time to be a servant of men. Did not have the time to be obedient to Christ. Be obedient to God the Father and to Jesus Christ like I was obedient. You may not have, Jesus didn't have a popular name during the time he was doing ministry on earth. He even though he became popular, they called him Jesus. But what I like about it is when he got, his father referred to him as simply a bondservant. And there is a difference between a servant and a bond servant. Amen? If you looked at any of the Black History Month and you've seen any of the slave stories, that there was a servant, and he could work and get his freedom. But a bond servant was tied to his owner. And no matter what he did, he was going to be that master's servant. Jesus was a bond servant. He was tied to God. And no matter how hard he worked, no matter how many souls saved, he was still a bond servant to his Father. We trying to get free. We trying to get free, but the reality of it is, if you love God and you committed your way to him and you asked him into your heart, then you are a bond servant. You have a responsibility to serve God in spirit and in truth. You're free, but you're a servant. Hallelujah. Bond servant. And so Jesus was a bond servant. And he didn't mind doing whatever it took to relieve the suffering of society and relieve the suffering of humanity. He said he humbled himself. You know, there's a lot of people, even in ministry, that are so arrogant, even though they may be representing God, their arrogance turns you off. Amen? And I hope that nobody's saying you one of them. Amen? Even if you thought it, don't say it. Amen? Amen. Because we all have to humble ourselves. We can't be so high that we cannot bow down low to help someone. If we can't, if we realize that we walk together. You know, take a lot of us. He said, wherever there are two or three gathered, touching and agreeing, that I'll be one in the midst of them. But one of the things that we have to be able to do, as in the Sunday school lesson this morning, we have to be able to recognize the Lamb of God. We have to know Jesus in the pardon of his sin. We have to have had a little talk with him. We have to have surrendered our life unto Jesus. You know, being a servant for Jesus is not a hard task once you know the master. Because unlike the slave masters of old, you don't get punished in the same way. You don't necessarily get 40 lashes for your disobedience. Just have some of us might will do better if we live under the threat of the lash. Amen? Amen? How many of you did good when you robbed your parents? But when you got away from your parents, you kind of did the way you want because there was no threat. Amen. I'm grown now. She can't touch me now. I thought that one time. It's all right as long as I thought it when I said it. God can do more with you. And God can do more for you. And God can do more to you than a lash. And you know, it hurts God for us to sin. There's a song that says, every time I sin, I crucify my Lord again. But we need to understand that if we would just go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, and we would just surrender our heart to Jesus and just talk with him, he knows that we all are subject to slip and fall. That's why he sent two cousins to plead our case. Grace and mercy. Amen. Now, how many of us hear people say, Lord, have mercy? That's a lot of time because they even found themselves in situations that they don't know how to get out of, or they are messed up so bad that they know they need mercy. I may be the only one. I have a Lord have Hallelujah. Y'all been holding too long. Now some of us. But Jesus said he came and he was humble because he was a bondservant all the way to the cross. Oh, and that's good news. We ought to be shouting about that Jesus did not come down from the cross, but he hung for us, for our sin and our justification. It was because of his mercy that Jesus died. And that's why grace works. Not only does the blood still work, but God's grace still works. Been working down through generations. It's been working down through ages and time. Through generation after generation, God's grace and mercy still works. We're not here because we're so perfect. But we serve a perfect God. We're not here because we deserve to be here. But we're here because God's mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Then he said that his name, Jesus' name, is above every name. It's above the president. It's above Buddha. It's above Confucius. It's above Muhammad. Because it's at the name of Jesus.
Work with it.
See, you can't even frown and say Jesus. Amen? And it's not because you can't twist your face to say Jesus. You cannot frown and say Jesus, especially if you stop by and you know him, or you had a contact with him. When you start saying the name of Jesus, let's just try it. When you start to say Jesus,
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 you notice every time you say him, you put more emphasis on him, because you have to realize that I really need to call him. Amen. Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Confucius will bow. Muhammad will bow. Everybody will bow at the name of Jesus, because there's power. Not only in the name of Jesus, but anything that he's had within him, there's power in the blood of Jesus. That's why we want to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the songwriter picked up on it and said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's why, in the book of God, putting this together as we go along here. Amen. But over in Psalms, in Psalm 51, Psalms 51, what did he say? Have mercy. He didn't say pardon. He said, have mercy. According, Lord, to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. And this is what I want you to do for me, Lord. Blot out my transgressions. Amen. Get rid of anything that's going to be between me and you. And wash me thoroughly from all my iniquity. We done messed up, y'all. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we need to have God blot all that mess out. Wash it away from us, that we may come into a relationship and a right relationship and cleanse me from all my sin. How many of you have never sinned? How many of you sinned yesterday? What about this morning? What about the last few minutes when you told yourself, I ain't gonna tell that lie that I'm gonna say I didn't sin? Amen. So that's a sin. But he said, Lord, this is what I acknowledge the fact that I have sinned. I know I messed up. And I know my transgressions are all way before. You know, even though God forgive you, don't sin pop up again. Don't what you do pop up again. The devil just keep bringing it back to your remembrance. Because if he can keep you worried about that sin, then he in essence stalls you. He makes you unusable because you're so worried about the sin that you have done that you're not willing to step out and do anything for the Lord. My. I'm just about through. But how did he say get rid of this? He said, purge me with this, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice, and hide your face from my sin. Blot out my iniquity. This is what needs to happen, because some people, they've been born again, but their hearts have not been converted. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a spirit with me, and cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know, David understood that he had messed up. He had a man killed. He had taken another man's wife. He knew he had messed up, but he said, create in me a clean heart. How many of us need to have clean hearts today? Need to ask God, you know I got some mess in my heart against Willoughby, against West. You know I got against Gabe. You know I got some mess in my heart. But create in me a clean heart. Because God can't use a corrupt heart. He said he will not dwell in an unclean temple. So we ask him to clean up this temple that he might use us for his glory. And then when he does that, we can run with patience. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't have to worry about it. And then when trials and tribulations come, when sorrow and pain come, you just have a little talk with Jesus. You can tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Oh, I thank God for a God that will answer my prayer. I thank God for a God that will pick me up. And you know I don't have to ring a little bell to get his attention. You know, there are some people, in order to get their God's attention, they gotta ring a little bell, put a little incense there. But you know, all I gotta do is say, Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When my friends talk about me, I say, Jesus. When I'm down and out and burdened with the care of the world, I say, Jesus. Jesus, my heart fixer. When I'm sick, I say, Jesus, my doctor. When I'm in the courtroom, I say, Jesus, my lawyer. Hallelujah. And one day, on a mourner's bench, I think this year at our revival, we're going to have a mourner's bench. Amen. Why? Because young people don't have a grasp of what a mourner's bench is. Let's create a mourner's bench real quick. Y'all know the real. Amen. Y'all know what a mourner's bench is? Amen. And let's create a mourner's bench real quick, because I want them to see. I have to be pretty. The one I sat on wasn't pretty. Man, maybe the one I sat on had splinters. Amen. Turn it around over here. Turn it around over here. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's good. And you turn it at an angle so it's a difficult. Now that you think, yeah. And that was a moment's bench. And when the evangelist got up to preach, he said, now I want everybody over here that don't know the Lord.
Alright.
That have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And they were not ashamedly and Hold up your hand. Amen. I need just a few. You may be saved. I want one person to hold up their hand. Amen. All right, Brother Murray, you saved today. Come here. Amen. Come on. And they said, now you sit over there in the morning. Then they come on this side and they said, all of you over here who have not saved and have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, not in the church, hold up your hand. Nobody over here. All right, Brother Deacon Bullock. Oh, you're not saved. He volunteered pretty quick, though. And for the rest of the night, when the evangelist was preached, much of his message was targeted at the people on the monument. And I didn't understand that. I said, that's not fair. I didn't understand. But then as I started studying God's word, he said he didn't come for those that are saved. He came for the lost. So they need salvation. And if we are concerned about those that are out of the church, that don't know Christ, in the part of their sin, if we are concerned about them and their salvation, we need to be targeting. We need to be reaching out. We need to be telling them about the love of God and how God can save you. How do you know? Because he saved me and he's still in the saving business. We stand and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. But he didn't love you just to love you. He loved you so you could show his love to others. Amen? And if you have a friend and you know that they are lost and you refuse to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you, I wouldn't want you to be my friend. Because if you know something that's good and is saved and going to be beneficial for me, share it with me. Amen. We share more recipes than we do Christ. Amen. What did you put in that chicken? How did you make that casserole? But how many of us are as happy to share Jesus Christ and his love for you? Not because of who you are, but in spite of who you are. Jesus didn't die for me because of who I was. He died for me in spite of who I was. And the same for you. He's already paid the price for your salvation. He paid it on Calvary. And the blood of Jesus has cleansing power. This morning, you should come at the name of Jesus. Okay, y'all can just say, y'all say now, y'all can tell me. Y'all get off the wall a bit. Amen. This is an invitation to salvation as well as an invitation to relationship with Christ. If you don't know Christ in the part of your sin, we invite you to come just now. Surrender your heart and your life to God. He's waiting for you with open arms, saying, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Would you come this morning? God is saying, come. If you need someone to walk with you, raise your hand. All eyes are open. If you need someone to walk with you, hold your hand up. I'll meet you and walk with you. Because I'd rather walk with you down here than to walk away from you eternity. In eternity. Will you come this morning? God is that bid you come. Jesus. Just call his name. gracious God, our Father, we thank you. Lord, you know what's needed in this family as they began the grief process following the death of their father. Lord, we ask that you would comfort them and keep them. Lord, we ask that you would go with Tasia as making a step to receive you and begin to walk in the newness of life. Lord, we ask that you comfort her and that as she returns, that she will find a church home where she can continue to grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you. We praise you. Give them safe passage upon their departure. And Lord, we ask that you keep them forever in your care. It is in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.